إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار، وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and after seeking forgiveness from Him and seeking refuge with Him from the mischievousness of our souls and wrongdoings of all of our actions, and after bearing witness that there's nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah, He is alone, He has no partners, and after bearing witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Qurashi al-Hashimi sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is his abd and his rasul, his slave and his messenger, I then thank you, the brothers and sisters here at this first Muslim mosque in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, that I've been hearing about ever since I've been a Muslim, at least for the past 20 years. And actually the honor is for me to even set foot in this place, because this is a landmark for Islam in this country that needs it so badly. So I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly for being a Muslim, and secondly for allowing me to finally be able to come and visit the Muslims here, even though I was born not too far from here. I'm really honored to be here for the first time, alhamdulillah, and I hope this is not the last time. I've been asked to fill the Stacey Adams or the Bostonian shoes of my Sheikh Muhammad Sayyid Adli from South Carolina, because he couldn't make it. I don't know if you knew this, but actually he was the one who was scheduled to speak with Imam Abu Muslima of the Islamic Center of East Orange. And Sheikh Muhammad Sayyid Adli could not come because another one of his daughters is getting married, I think today or tomorrow. So Brother Musa, Hafizullah, may Allah preserve him and protect him and all of us. I mean, he asked me a few days ago, I think it was, to come and take Sheikh Muhammad Sayyid Adli's place to step in those enormous shoes. And I told him that after I make Salatul Istikhara, inshallah, I'll give him the answer. And that's what I did, and I'm here by the decree of Allah. The subject that I've chosen, when he asked me what subject would I like to talk about, and there's a lot of subjects that we, of course, we can talk about as Muslims, was purification of the soul, التزكيه, تزكيه النفس. And this subject, there are volumes, literally volumes of books written on the subject of التزكيه. And التزكيه, for lack of better words, for those of you brothers who are indigenous Americans, you probably, if you've been in church before you've accepted Islam, and I would imagine that probably most of you were in church at least once before you accepted Islam, you're probably familiar with the terminology sanctified. I think you probably heard this word, right? Sanctified. And the word tazkiyah, actually the closest thing that I can think of in English to the word tazkiyah is just that, sanctified. So in actuality, one of the three main jobs that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commissioned to do when he was sent to the human beings and to the jinn is to sanctify the people, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in his book, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do basically three things. And from those three things we found a lot of occupations and a lot of duties and responsibilities of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But those three basic things that he was sent to do, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ, to teach the book, which is Al-Qur'an, Al-Qur'an al-Majid, the majestic Qur'an. وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and the word hikmah that they translate in many of the translations of the Qur'an as wisdom does not mean wisdom. The word hikmah here, it does not mean wisdom. All of the scholars of tafsir of Qur'an, starting from the Prophet's companions himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we mention scholars, we should be referring to the Sahaba first, not the people of today. We should be referring to the Sahaba and then work our way down. All of the scholars of Islam from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are in unanimous agreement that the word hikmah that they translate as wisdom here, and then people falsely give another definition to that, means sunnah. They unanimously agree that the word hikmah, wisdom, means sunnah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Allah is telling us in the Quran that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach us the book and the sunnah. And one of the tabi'un, one of the students of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, when the Quran was coming down, the sunnah was coming down with it. When the Quran was being revealed, the sunnah was coming down with it. In fact, some of the scholars of Islam, they say that the sunnah came before the Qur'an. Some of them say the sunnah came before the Qur'an. And that's a discussion that's on another date, another lecture by someone more knowledgeable, which doesn't take that much to be more knowledgeable than me. You can get somebody else to talk about that, inshallah. And then the third thing is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been commissioned, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, to sanctify, to purify, to sanitize, to clean the people. To clean them how? To clean them outwardly, as one of the Jews tried to ridicule one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, your Prophet has taught you everything, even how to go to the bathroom. He was trying to make fun of the Muslims, as they do today. And his companion, he agreed, that's right. Our Prophet has taught us everything, even how to go to the bathroom. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come to cleanse the people outwardly and also to cleanse them inwardly. That our hearts and our souls become cleansed. Because brothers and sisters, wearing a beard, wearing a kufi, wearing a niqab, wearing a thawb, all these things are nice. Alhamdulillah, they have importance in Islam. But if you go to Allah and you have a corrupted heart, you have a diseased heart, if you have a stained, sullied, muddied soul, and you spend most of your time talking about politics, and you spend most of your time talking about the economic program, and you spend most of your time talking about a social program, or you spend most of your time talking about your madhab, or your imam, or your sheikh, or how much you spend on your car, making sure your carburetor is fixed, and your generator is working, and your battery is working, and your tires are inflated, and the fluids are working in your car, or whatever, playing back, whatever. And you didn't spend time on that soul and on that heart, you're going to be in very bad shape, and may Allah protect you and me, all of us, from this. You're going to be in very bad shape. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Whoever purifies their soul, they'll be successful. Whoever purifies their soul, they'll be successful. Your ethnic background won't help you an iota weight if your soul is not purified. Being African American, being Pakistani American, being Arab American, being whatever, it won't help you an iota of weight if your soul is not purified. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And whoever allows it to be to be corrupted, he will stint the growth of that soul. Whoever allows it to be corrupted, he will stint the growth of that soul. And the same thing with the heart. The Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that the children and your wealth, and I'll use Sheikh Muhammad Sayyid Adli for example, he has 20 children. 20 children, Sheikh Muhammad Sayyid Adli, who was supposed to come, and by the decree of Allah, I took his place. 20 children. And I know another Imam, Imam Al-Amin, in Wine Dance, Long Island, Imam Abdul Latif Al-Amin, he has 39 children. 39 children. And Anas, radiallahu anhu, the one who used to serve the Prophet for over a decade or more, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him, after his mother said, make dua for Anas, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet said, Allahumma aktur malahu wa waladahu wa barakahu fi ma'ataytahu. O Allah, increase him in his wealth, in his children, and bless him in that which you give him. Anas radiallahu anhu said, after the Prophet made that dua for me, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, excluding my grandson, I had more than 125 children. More than 125 children. These three examples, two contemporary examples and one distant example, won't mean anything to the human being, to the Muslim, if he doesn't come to Allah with a pure, clean heart. The children, the wealth, none of these, your PhDs, all of these things don't mean anything. Don't mean anything. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except for the person who comes with a pure, unadulterated, cleansed, sanitized heart. That's it. So that's why I chose this subject, brothers. That's why I chose this subject, sisters, because this thing is daily, hourly neglected by the Muslims. We spend a lot of time, wasted time, hours, days, weeks, months go by, and we don't take time to look at our souls and look at our hearts. And there are so many different ways, as we mentioned, volumes of books have been written on this subject. There's so many different ways to purify your soul and to purify your heart. I've only selected one, because every day the Muslim, even if he doesn't know Arabic language, even if she doesn't know Arabic, every day we make some type of dua. If it's just Bismillah or Alhamdulillah, we make some type of dua every single day. So this is why I chose purification of the soul by way of dua. There are some verses in the Quran, and there are some books that have been translated and or written on the subject of dua in English. And there are many books that have been written in Arabic by the scholars of Islam of the past. Imam al-Shawkani has written a book on zikr and dua. And when I mention dua, I'm mentioning zikr with the dua. I'm including zikr with the dua. There are many books written by Qadi Iyad on zikr and dua. There are books written by Imam al-Nawawi himself, the one who wrote the 40 hadiths that we know about. And he wrote a very famous book called Al-Azkar. Al-Azkar, which is the plural word for zikr, which it has all these different types of dua and zikr that the Muslim can utilize in their daily lives. And when reading this book, you'd be shocked on all the different types of dua that the person can use. But most of us really, and Allah knows best, really don't take advantage of these dua. So alhamdulillah, some of these books have been translated. One of them has been written by a sister, Siddiqa Sharafuddin, I believe her name is. I think it's called Supplications in the Night and the Day. I'm not sure. And there's another book that's now in English, alhamdulillah, that was translated by a brother named Waleed Al-Isa, I think his name is, called Authentic Supplications. If you can utilize these books and you can get an abundance of zikr and dua that will help us get closer to Allah and help us purify our souls and our hearts, inshaAllah ta'ala. We have some verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about dua. One of them where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, Udu'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufyatan innahu la yuhibbul mu'tadeen. And a rough translation of this is, call on your Lord humbly and in secret. Indeed, He loves not the aggressor. Call on your Lord humbly and in secret. Indeed, Allah loves not the aggressors or the ones who transgress the bounds. So in this ayah, Allah is commanding us to make dua. To make dua. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. When my servant asks you about me, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them that I am extremely close. Tell them that I am extremely near to them. I answer the dua of every suppliant when he makes dua. And this is a great mercy, brothers and sisters. This is a great, great mercy for us to know that the Lord of the world has informed us that He hears the dua of every person when they make dua. And He answers the dua if the conditions that the person who is making the dua have been met by that person, Allah will answer their dua. He will hear and answer their dua. There are some conditions. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord said, call on me and I will answer you. This is the Lord of the world, رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, telling us in His book, the final revelation to all mankind, that book that we should be presenting to everyone. Because the da'wah is just not to the Muslims. Some Muslims think da'wah is only for Muslims. The da'wah is to the non-Muslims, of course, also. We should not neglect those people, no matter who they may be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in His last revelation, your Lord says, call on me and I will answer you. This is from the Lord of the world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't lie. A'udhu billah. Sometimes we lie, sometimes we break our promises, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't lie and He doesn't break His promise. From the sunnah, we have some examples of the excellence of dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on the authority of Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يرد القضاء إلا الدعاء. That nothing changes the decree except dua. Nothing can change the decree that is written 50,000 years. 50,000 years before all of us weren't even thought of. Before Allah created all of this creation. 50,000 years before the creation, what's going to happen was written. Me pointing my finger right now saying 50,000 years before creation, you listening to my words right now, 50,000 years before creation, this was written if you were going to listen, and it was written that I was going to be pointing my finger like this and sitting in front of this microphone in this masjid, the first Muslim mosque in Pittsburgh. It was written. This is called the qadr. But the qadr is the occurrence of that which was written. Nothing can change what was written. But something can change the occurrence of what is written. The occurrence of what was written can be averted. As a better word. The only thing that can change the occurrence of you being HIV positive, the only thing that can avert the occurrence of you being a homosexual, the only thing that can avert the occurrence of what was written 50,000 years before creation, that you would be a Jehovah's Witness leaving Islam, wali'adhu billah, is a dua. Dua. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he said, when you see someone who's been afflicted with some type of trial or tribulation, and for those of you who have forgotten, the dunya is the abode of trials and tribulations. I don't think you've forgotten that, right? The dunya is the abode of trials and tribulations. And one of the scholars of the past said, show me a dunya with no trials and tribulations, and I'll show you a Jannah that's not everlasting. Show me a dunya with no trials and tribulations, and I'll show you a Jannah, a paradise that's not everlasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you see someone that's being tested and tried by Allah, he or she smokes cigarettes, that's a trial from Allah. That's a big trial from Allah to be lighting up some tobacco and some paper and smoking it and jamming your lungs up and messing up your heart with the addition that it's haram, not makruh, haram. When you see somebody afflicted by this terrible, terrible sin of intoxicants, they can't put down that crack vial. They have to blast every day. When you see somebody addicted to gambling, going to Gamblers Anonymous, or S Anonymous, Sex Anonymous, or Lovers Anonymous, or whatever type of anonymous, when you see somebody being afflicted with AIDS or tuberculosis or leukemia or Ebola, this dreaded disease that kills you in less than 9 days, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, you should say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi afani mimma batalaka bih وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٌ مِّمَّا خَلَقَ تَفْصِيلًا. He said, you should say, praise be to Allah who has pardoned me, protected me, secured me, giving me safety from what you are being tested with when you see that person, and has given me superiority and excellence over that most of what he's created. He said, whoever makes that dua, when they see that person being tested, then that thing won't happen to them. If you don't make the dua and you see that person, it may just happen to you. But the dua will avert the occurrence of what was written, and the same thing might have been written on you. So you're driving down the road and you see this Jeep turned upside down with the guy's head on the fence and his body still in the Jeep. He's had an accident. You should say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi aafani mimma batalaka bih wa faddalani ala kathir mimma khalaqa tabdila. If you say that, that won't happen to you. The dua will avert the occurrence of what was decreed. And brothers and sisters in Islam, if this doesn't help purify your soul, if this doesn't help purify your heart, I don't know what will. This is a sure way to purify your soul and your heart. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الدُعَاءُ يَنْفَعُ بِمَا نَزَلْ وَمِمَّا لَمْ يَنْزِلْ فَعَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ بِالدُعَاءِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in authentic hadith, that dua benefits that which descends and that which hasn't descended. That dua benefits that which descends and that which hasn't descended. So, O worshippers of Allah, it is incumbent upon you to make dua. It's the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And brothers and sisters, wallahi al-azim, as sure as I sit in this blessed masjid on this floor, speaking to you from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Allah, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is dua for every occasion. And there's one dua that is dear, and all of them are dear to my heart. But some just stick out, you know, when you know your own self, when you know your personal self. Some stick out for you as a person, because you know yourself better than anybody. And I know myself better than anybody after Allah. No one knows Dawood Adib and the sins that he's committed. May Allah forgive me and all of you. Ameen. No one knows me better than myself after Allah. And I ask Allah to forgive me of my sins. But there are some dua that are so dear to me. And one of them is the Prophet's statement sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma inni as'aluka min al-khayri kullihi ajilihi wa ajilihi ما علمت منه وما لم أعلم، وأعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمت منه وما لم أعلم. O Allah, I ask of you of all the good in this life and in the next, that which I know and that which I don't know. And I seek refuge with you, O Allah, from all of the evil in this life and in the next, that which I know of and that which I don't know of. And that's just the beginning of the dua. There's some more to it, inshallah. We can return to it later, inshallah, if there's time. So we should make dua for the things that come down, that descend on us, and the things that haven't come down. And this is incumbent upon us to make this dua, whatever dua the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us. If we want to get closer to Allah and purifying our hearts and purifying our souls, it is important, brothers and sisters in Islam, that we learn the etiquette of ad-du'a, that we learn the manners of ad-du'a, that we learn those times that the du'a are likely to be accepted, those places that are du'a are likely to be accepted. We like to mention some of the things that revolve around how you make du'a. Because for surety, if you've been a Muslim as long as I have, going on my 23rd year, alhamdulillah, probably like me, and probably not as bad as me, you picked up some luggage. And some of that luggage probably didn't belong to the original ensemble of Islam. Probably. You probably picked up some things that are foreign to Islam. And that's why the Muslim, striving to purify themselves, should make muhasabah, should make muqaraba. They should have self-introspection. They should take account of themselves. They should do what the department stores do once in a while. Close down the shop and take inventory. Look at what's on the shelves to see what's stale or outdated. Because for surety, if you've just been a Muslim for a year, you've probably picked up some things that are not in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah. So what about 20 years, 30 years, 40 years you've been a Muslim? So now we'd like to discuss how to make dua. One of the first things that are important in the manners and etiquettes of a dua, and we're not saying this is obligatory, brothers and sisters, we're saying this is highly recommended. They're mustahabat. They're highly recommended. One of them is al-wudu. Al-wudu. And we're going to mention this, inshallah, if Allah allows us, tomorrow, when we talk about the prayer, inshallah, one of the priorities of the Muslim. Abu Musa, radiallahu anhu, he said, دَعَى النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِمَاءٍ فَتَوَضَّأَ بِهِ ثُمَّ رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ فَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِعُبَيْدِ أَبِي عَامِرٍ وَرَأَيْتُ بَيَادَ إِبْطَيْهِ فَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَوْقَ كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ خَلْقِكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. On the story of Abu Musa رضي الله عنه, who said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم called for some water to make wudu with. Then he raised his hands and he said, O Allah, forgive Ubayd Abu Amir. Forgive Ubayd Abu Amir. And then Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu said, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raise his hands, and I saw the paleness, and I, for the brothers who are extremely Afrocentric, I don't want to say the whiteness, because some brothers have a problem when you say that the Prophet was light in color. So I'll say the paleness of his armpits. And inshallah, may Allah remove the disease of jahiliyyah, of Afrocentrism from you. Ameen. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Allah, make him on Yawmul Qiyamah, Ubayd Abu Amir, make him on Yawmul Qiyamah, the Day of Resurrection, above most of the people who you created. Can you imagine the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying to you, making dua for you, oh Allah, make this person, and naming you by name above most of the people on the day of resurrection that you've created? Can you imagine that? This is a tremendous reward. Also, as part of the etiquette of ad-du'a, is making the du'a three times.